Hey guys, welcome to a new episode of Sauce Up the Scary. Derek Zhu, Jeff Wright here with you back in the studio. First off, just want to apologize for not being able to sync up last week. Jeff and I, our schedules are always crazy, but it just seemed like last week was even more so. And then I tried to record a show with a good friend of the podcast, Big Al Haston, and the audio just wasn't up to snuff. And so we just we made the executive decision to not release an episode last week. So I hope that you guys understand on that. And thank you, as always, for being gracious. With that being said, Jeff, what's going on, man? How are you?
I'm doing well. It's good to talk to you. It is crazy season for both of us, not in a way that I think I could have predicted. I don't think you could have either. We kind of hoped this would be a return to normal. That hasn't been the case.
Yeah.
I do hate missing weeks.
Yeah, it's good to be back. And we've got a episode today that I'm not real sure how you guys are going to feel about it, but I'm interested to talk to Jeff about this one. Jeff, you may have to horror uncle this one.
Yeah, he's not available today. he had good. Some scheduling difficulty too.
You know what? That's good. That's what I like to hear. We should have talked about that off air, but that's good to hear. I'm glad we're in the same boat on this one. So anyway, before we get into our main event, let's get to everyone's favorite part of the show.
Jeff hates trailers.
And Jeff, I've got three for you today. The first one is a trailer that just released yesterday called The Ascent.
Okay. I've seen The Descent, so I guess there needs to be an Ascent.
Yeah, there's no synopsis for this. It's a possession movie.
Oh, well, I'm usually in on those.
And this one looked okay, but I feel like that they're representing Satan as like a spider, like a giant spider. I hate to give it away, but I'll say this. I wasn't sold on it.
Okay. Is this major studio or is this indie video?
Let's see. It's going to debut in at the Toronto After Dark Film Festival in October.
Okay, so maybe they're still shopping it for...
Yeah.
Okay, I got you.
That's what it looks like. I'm trying to see if there's anybody... There's nobody of note that I know that's producing it. The star of the movie is an executive producer.
Gotcha.
But that's about it. But it's... Yeah, I mean, I don't want to say it's like your standard run-of-the-mill possession movie, but it is kind of your standard run-of-the-mill possession movie. Except
with spiders?
Yeah, with like a giant spider.
Somebody's been watching it.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess they're like, we got to capitalize on this, pal.
What if it wasn't a murder clown? What if the spider was the devil? Sure, man.
Sounds great.
Yeah.
So it stars Robert Kaczynski, Peter Jason, Hannah Ward, and Caden Dragomer.
Okay. All big fans of those guys.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Kaczynski was the biker in Captain Marvel.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, what would we even call that? Bit part?
Yeah. I mean, his IMDb lists him as biker and then in parentheses, the Don.
The Don.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess that guy, you know, I'm slow playing this, but the guy gets to say I'm part of the MCU. You know, he's canon in the MCU, so some things have went right for him, I guess.
Yeah.
It just doesn't, I don't know, it's not overawing when your lead, his biggest claim to fame is biker.
Right. Yeah. So I'll put this trailer up in the Facebook group, and you guys can let us know what you think about it. But The Ascent.
What was the name of it? The Ascent, that's right.
The Ascent, yeah. It is, I assume it is Ascent, Ascent, Ascent.
Oh, I took it as moving upward rather than agreeing with.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is the agreeing with version.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I apologize.
No, that's my assumption. You know what they say about assumptions?
Yeah. It makes an ascent out of you and me.
Mm. Do I have to bleep that for iTunes? I'm not sure.
Oh, I don't think so. I think because of the ENT, we're fine.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So just to latch on to the spider theme here, have you ever heard of a movie called Itsy Bitsy?
Yes.
Okay. Have we talked about Itsy Bitsy?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I haven't seen it, but I've heard of it.
Yeah, it's a spider-based scary movie, and I think it's like just an actual spider, not spider as devil. But I just want to roll that ball out to our listeners. If you've seen Itsy Bitsy, someone recommended it to me, and I don't know. It wasn't on my radar, and so we've talked about it being a busy time. I don't know if I'm going to watch it or not, but if some of our listeners get back to us and say, no, dude, check it out,
yeah,
I'll definitely do that. So anyway, listener, if you've seen Itsy Bitsy and you think Jeff should watch it for entertainment, and who knows, possibly a review, holla at us, Facebook group, email, Twitter, somewhere.
Yeah. Man, can I tell you, you know what, I'll leave it until we get to the review.
Okay, cool.
I was about to start complaining, but we'll have plenty of time for that here in a little bit. So that's in post-production. Again, the debut of it will be at the Toronto After Dark Film Festival, so we'll keep our eyes and ears open on that one. The second one I've got for you is called The Wave. And this is the synopsis on this one. A man on the verge of a promotion takes a mysterious hallucinogenic drug that begins to tear down his reality and expose his life for what it really is. And this stars Justin Long and Donald Faison.
Oh, okay.
And I believe it is a Netflix. Well, maybe
original
not.
Or something.
I thought it was, but maybe it's not. It apparently is supposed to debut this Saturday at the Fanatic Fest.
Hmm.
I don't know much about the Fanatic Fest. Anyway, this looks really weird, which seems like it's Justin Long's wheelhouse now, right? Like, after Tusk, yeah. He just seems like that's what he wants to do.
Hey, could you refrain from reminding me Tusk exists, please? Could you just honor my wishes there?
I will. Do you want to call it the Seal movie or just don't talk about it?
He didn't do anything other than those Apple commercials. That's where I'm at right now.
And Accepted. That's a really fun movie.
He's a Mac.
You ever see Accepted?
No, I don't think I did.
Oh, it's fun.
So does the trailer look good?
It looks weird. It looks very like indie film, but also it looks sort of like a Netflix original. That's why I was thinking for some reason that it was, but I'm intrigued. I'm intrigued enough to like keep track of it and see how it does at this film festival and see what people start saying about it once reviews come out.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what this says about me, but when you're reading the description, I thought it should be titled White People Problems.
Yeah.
I mean, I picture a 30-year-old accountant who's about to get a pay bump, and that's the weekend he tries cocaine. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, he definitely gets a bump.
Yeah. Different sense.
Yeah. Is that why you were shocked when you heard Donald Faison was in this movie?
Yeah. I mean, I guess I'm a fan of Donald Faison. My surprise was just hearing from him. I don't know what he's been doing lately.
Yeah.
But yeah, the premise sounds kind of vanilla, but I guess if he's on an ayahuasca trip into scary territory, I would check that out.
Yeah. I really am kind of on the fence about it, man. I don't know. I'll just put the trailer up, and
we can treat it like a death by committee. You know, everybody vote. Will this movie suck?
Yeah, we'll put a poll up.
I think.
Hey, do you guys think this will be terrible? Vote yes or no.
I think we should insist that all the voting be done with gifts from Gladiator. Where what's his face either gives a thumbs up or a thumbs down.
Yeah, Joker.
Joker. That's correct. That's correct.
Yeah. Speaking of which, we really haven't talked about this. My initial reaction to that movie was trepidation and not wanting to see it. But I have since come around to it.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on it?
Yeah, I'll probably go see it. Here's my problem, and I think this is really unique to me. Have you and I talked about why I didn't watch Breaking Bad after the first season?
No, sir. I don't think we have.
So I gave up on Breaking Bad after the first season. You know, remind me of the character's name. My brain is fried, apparently.
Walter White.
Walter White is standing over a swimming pool filled with ill-gotten cash. And that was the last scene from Breaking Bad I ever saw. Because I realized where the story was going, and I didn't want to watch a story just about the ruin of this guy's life.
Sure.
And so I stayed conversant with the series. I read reviews and plot synopsis and episode recounts. But I didn't want to watch it happen. And I kind of feel that same way about Joker. I will watch the movie, but I'm really not enthusiastic to just watch a guy's descent into awfulness.
Mm-hmm.
I don't go for nihilism in films, and I feel like this is going to be really nihilistic.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
There's my depressing take.
Well, I mean, I don't think you're wrong.
Are you going to watch
it? I'm not. I don't know. I I know that I'm going to be crazy busy that weekend that it comes out, so I probably won't watch it then, but I could eventually see myself going to a certain movie theater that's unnamed and
thank you
checking it out.
Yeah, the busyness is another factor I hadn't really thought of. I think Rambo and Ad Astra comes out Friday, right?
Yes.
At the time we're recording this episode. I'd like to see both of those, and I'm not sure I'll get over to see either.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, if I'm going to watch a movie around that time, towards the beginning of October, I'm going to watch the Breaking Bad movie.
Yeah.
I know that, like, you can watch it and on Netflix. It'll be on Netflix fairly soon. But I'm going to go to that unnamed movie theater and check it out because they were like, hey, we'll get you free tickets to this. And I said, yes, that sounds good.
Let's do that.
So, I don't know when I'll get around to watching it, but I plan to watch it. I hope that it's as good as everyone's saying that it is.
Yeah. Yeah, it's getting great reviews.
Yeah.
And that's enough to swing me. I mean, I'm interested in the character. I really do hate, like, movies that require Prozac and...
Sure.
I've got some real trepidation, but I'm not kidding anybody. I'm going to go see that thing.
Yeah. I mean, eventually I will too, but I just hope that it's... I hope it's more of a walking out of the Dark Knight experience than it is walking out of Mother.
For sure. For sure. I don't know if I can handle that second option.
Yeah. I was thinking about that the other day for some reason. Well, maybe because it was like it came up on my Facebook memories or something that we had watched it a year or 2 years ago. And just remembering how awful I felt after watching that movie.
It really was like living through a washing machine cycle.
Yeah. That's a really good way of putting it. Sounds good. Sounds good. What were we doing?
I think we're talking about movies.
Yeah, talking about that last movie, The Wave.
The Wave.
So,
I guess.
So it'll go ahead.
That's a reference to the drug use experience. You're riding the wave.
I assume.
I was thinking maybe like Dark Aquaman or something. But okay, cool.
No, that's going to be the next Brightburn. Is Dark Aquaman.
Yeah, that's true. I think they already alluded to that for sure.
Yeah, I'm here for it. So, all right. Last one I got for you is called In the Tall Grass. And I believe friend of the show, Jason Hall, put that in our Facebook group already.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So the synopsis on it is this. When siblings Becky and Cal hear the cries of a young boy lost within a field of tall grass, they venture in to rescue him, only to become ensnared themselves by a sinister force that quickly disorients and separates them. Cut off from the world and unable to escape the field's tightening grip, they soon discover that the only thing worse than getting lost is being found. And this comes out the same day that the Joker comes out, so October the 4th. So big day.
Yeah, I'll probably watch that one. I'm a kid, as we've talked about, I was a kid who grew up in a very rural community. I know what it's like to go into a field of corn where you can get lost. And that whole premise sounds pretty terrifying, so that's enough for me. The trailer look intriguing?
Yeah, man, the trailer looks great.
Okay.
Out of the three of them, that was the one where I was like, oh yeah, I'm definitely going to have to watch that. And kudos to whoever Stephen King's agent is who keeps getting him these like killer, no pun intended, but these killer Netflix deals and stuff and these visionaries who are actually bringing his movies to life and making them look good instead of, you know, the B movie that we've grown to love from a lot of his stuff.
Yeah. Hey, man, he's money. This is his second golden age. And
yeah,
I guess just keep churning it. Somebody said he had updated his list of dollar babies, which are his like short stories and other properties that have not been licensed that he's willing to license to creators for a dollar.
Okay.
And I'm just assuming that whole list is eventually going to get, you know, taken up and somebody's going to make a movie out of it. And
sure,
as long as I'm alive, I'll probably be watching the movie.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Hey, man, as long as they continue to be as good as they have been over the last 3 or 4 years, I'm down.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. I can't really remember the last time I was disappointed by something with Stephen King's name on it. It was probably like the Hulu series. What was it called?
Yeah, Castle Rock.
Castle Rock didn't live up to my expectations, but it was fine. There was some really good stuff, particularly in the acting. Mm-hmm. And that's not even an original Stephen King. So,
sure. Yeah.
He's a brand. And I'm there for it.
Yeah. So that brings me to another point that I'd like to make. Will you be watching season 2 of Castle Rock? Because it comes out fairly soon.
I don't know, man. I won't be watching it right away the way I did season one. I can say that much. I'm a completist. We've talked about that before. I'll probably try to find it somewhere. But the shine is definitely off.
Well done. I haven't even watched a trailer for it yet. The bloom came off that rose really quick for me, and I don't know if I'll go back to that well or not.
Yeah, I hear you. If I do, I will come back and update everybody. And I'm sure our listeners can, I'm sure some of the people in the Facebook group or whatnot will be willing to go back to the well. So maybe they can clue us in.
Yeah, I think that there were some people that enjoyed it much more than you and I did.
Sure.
And so we'll see. And I look forward to hearing from them when that happens. So
here, here.
We'll see what happens from there. But yeah, man, In the Tall Grass looks really good. And Jason's already got the trailer up in the Facebook group. So if you guys are part of our Facebook group and trailers are your bag, I suggest going to watch it because it's really good.
Okay, cool.
And it'll get you fired up about what's coming up from there. And so we've only got 2 weeks, and that thing will be on Netflix for you. Patrick Wilson stars, so I'm already in.
Sweet. Yeah.
And that'll do it for this week's edition of
Jeff Hates Trailers.
All right. Well, speaking of this week's editions, as we move into
this week's
I got to note that it's not a great season for horror news. If you go check some of the go-to sites, it's all kind of blasé. There's a lot of like reviews being posted on Bloody Disgusting rather than breaking news.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, man. We're in a post-it world. Remember we talked about how like everything felt like it was leading up at the end of the year to It. And on the backside of that, there was like Dr. Sleep, but nothing was quite as tentpole. And I kind of feel like there's a lull. There was a lull before It came out, and it seems like there might be one after.
Yeah.
Just a couple.
Go ahead.
No, after you, I insist.
I was just going to say, did you see that Jeffrey Dean Morgan is set to star in a Sam Raimi-produced horror film?
Yeah. It could just be a spinoff of the Negan character, we would all watch that, right?
Yeah, 100%.
That's good news.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to watch it regardless because I'm a JDM fan. But yeah, if it could just be Negan bashing people in the head for for 2 hours, I'd be all right with that.
Sure. And you just play whack-a-mole. That's cool.
Yeah.
Another piece of good news to me that doesn't really rise to the level of us considering it. The title of the Bloody Disgusting review of Three from Hell says Rob Zombie succeeds only in tarnishing his best film with aimless follow-up Three from Hell. So guess what? If he ruined what already was, in my mind, a terrible movie, that's the most Rob Zombie thing I've ever heard of. But I do have some decent news that this first one might even put some money in our listeners' pockets.
Hey, now.
So if you go to usdish.com, you're going to find out that they are celebrating Halloween by offering up an opportunity to one lucky horror fan. What you do is you binge watch 13 Stephen King adaptations before Halloween. You have to track I'm sure they will provide you with a tech, but you have to track your heart rate and report your progress as you binge. But somebody who does that is going to win $1,300.
Wow.
So the details here, don't worry about tracking down these horror flicks. Watch all 13 movies on us to help equip you for watching. We'll give you a survival kit with a flashlight, blanket, popcorn candy, and some Stephen King paraphernalia to set the stage. We'll provide a Fitbit to help you track your heart rate. Specifically, just to note that they're paying attention. Track your heart rate during some of the more intense scenes. Think You'll Float Too or the prom scene in Carrie.
Okay.
We'll also give you a movie theater gift card to add a 14th movie to your list, either It Chapter 2 or Dr. Sleep. You won't be required to report on this. Just enjoy the show. And the 13 movies are Carrie, which you can watch the original or the 2013 remake.
So the original.
Yeah, for sure. Children of the Corn, Christine, Creepshow, Cujo, Dreamcatcher. You can watch It, and it says the original or the 2017 remake. The Mist, Pet Sematary, also original or remake. Salem's Lot, The Shining, Thinner, Misery. And you'll get 1300 bucks. The deadline to submit is Tuesday, October 15th. So,
wow.
USDish.com.
Okay.
About time to monetize this horror fandom thing we all got going
yeah,
on.
Yeah, for sure. So, are you going to try to get in on that, Jeff?
I don't know. I don't know. Like we've talked about, bellyached about, complained about, whatever word you want to use. It's a busy season right now.
Yeah.
But it'd be fun to try.
Yeah. And when's the deadline for it? Like,
October
15th. How long do you have? Okay. Okay.
Head over to usdish.com, and I'm assuming you'll find the link for it there.
Well, there you go. usdish.com. Cool, man. I might have to strap in and do that.
Sure. We can do a live simulcast.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll just go live on Patreon.
Okay.
And do a chat for, you know, what, the 3 days I have to watch those movies?
At this point, I'm hallucinating. By hallucinating, I mean I'm thinking about watching the remake of Pet Sematary.
Hey, man, how many times have you seen It now? It Chapter 2.
Just once, because life is mean.
Okay.
Yeah, well, just once.
I know that you had talked about a buddy of yours had asked you to go back and watch it again, so I didn't know if you had went back and watched it with him or not.
No, same buddy and I ended up going to watch the University of Tennessee lose to BYU, so it's been one kick in the pants over after another. Yeah, I would have rather met the murder clown under the stadium.
Are you here to kill me? That'd be great. Let's just go ahead and do that right now.
Go ahead and get this neck right here, man.
Yeah,
you've seen multiple times. I'm sure you went to the Alamo Draft House and probably got a foot rub while you did it, you frigger.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Sure.
I've only seen it once.
Okay.
Yeah. I haven't had the chance. And I've been working like a fiend lately, so I just haven't had a chance to go watch it again.
Derek, one of the things I like about our friendship is you know when to lie to me. And I appreciate that. It's loving lying, and that's just kind of you.
I wish I was lying. Sure. I wish.
I mean, dude, you have to keep selling it. I got you.
Yeah, I got an email this week from Alamo Draft House that said, "Where you been? We miss you." I said, "I've been working at Alamo Draft House. Sorry."
You miss me? Come see me.
Yeah.
I come pay money for you to entertain me. Y'all come pay money to be entertained by me.
Dang right. Come watch me look like Garth Brooks and Dolly Stampede.
Well, man, I know that this is supposed to be a time we talk about horror news. The one other, well, actually, I've got two. One of them is just to be mentioned. Andy Muschietti apparently is going to be adapting Stephen King's The Jaunt.
Okay.
Got that news, I guess, a couple of days ago. And here's a true story. I don't know what The Jaunt is, but I'm cool with Andy Muschietti adapting whatever he wants to from Stephen King.
Yeah. Yeah, if Andy Muschietti and Mike Flanagan can just adapt all of Stephen King's stuff from now on, I'd be all right with that.
Yeah, I think we can make that an official motion from the Sauce on the Scary podcast.
Yeah, for sure.
The last one is stuff that you and I both dropped into the Facebook group, and that is that Netflix is apparently going all in on horror content for Halloween.
Yeah.
They've created a new category called Netflix and Chills, and they've dropped a bunch of money into it. So we've got Daybreak, which looks like, kind of a Ferris Bueller horror movie.
Okay.
We've got In the Shadow of the Moon, which has Michael C. Hall of extra fame. Can't wait enough for, can't wait for that one. What else? We got something. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, did you ever watch that Netflix series that Michael C. Hall was in? I believe it was called Dark or something. That's not right.
It was the Harlan Coben adaptation, right?
Yes.
I did not. It has sat on my Netflix list forever. I have this terrible habit of saving stuff I look forward to forever and never actually getting around to it. I've done this with some documentaries and whatnot, and I think that series has fallen into that black hole for me.
Safe was the name of it.
There it is. I like Harlan Coben stories, too. I've read a bunch of his books. They're not, Dostoevsky, but they're fun little reads. And so that should be right in my wheelhouse. I just hadn't got there.
Yeah. And I guess the 8 episodes were the only, that's it. Like, it's not coming back. So that's disappointing. But I watched the first couple and really enjoyed it. And then, of course, as has been the theme of this episode, life got busy and I just stopped watching.
Yeah. Well, the In the Shadow of the Moon one has some connections to It. Speaking of that recently, it's based on a novella by Stephen King and his son, Joe Hill. And apparently it's about a serial killer who resurfaces every 9 years. So familiar themes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Fractured that's going to have Sam Worthington in it. Also Lily Rabe, some kind of road trip catastrophe movie. And then the producer of The Haunting of Hill House and Gerald's Game is on the poster for Eli, the story of a young boy with a rare medical condition, which requires that he's cut off from the outside world. He has to go to special doctors for treatment. He finds out that his safe house is haunted.
Mm.
So it's like Bubble Boy, only with ghosts.
Oh, Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yeah. October 25th brings us Rattlesnake, about a mom who makes a deal with the devil after her kid is bitten by a snake. And then probably the one I'm most excited about is Marianne, which I have seen a bunch of different horror communities talking about how good Marianne is. It dropped on Friday the 13th, 6 days ago, as we're recording this, and it's some kind of possession thing. It looks like it's going to be right in my wheelhouse with the, you know, with the possession stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, there's even more. There's Glitch is coming back with a zombie scene themed season 3. Daybreak is about a group of high schoolers who survive a nuclear apocalypse.
Mm.
There's a Creeped Out cartoon series that's kind of like Goosebumps.
Okay.
I mean, we just keep going and we keep going. Netflix, I'll tell you this. I'm really thankful Netflix is doing this. I couldn't be happier the way they're spending their money. I will also say they are clearly shook by Disney Plus, and you know they've lost The Office. I think they're losing Parks and Rec. They optioned Seinfeld, but they are having to scramble to get some original content flowing.
Yeah, I've been thinking really hard about canceling Netflix lately, just because a lot of the stuff that I enjoy on there is leaving.
Sure,
you know. So it's gonna take some convincing for me to keep it, I think.
Well, this is the point we all dreaded. Did you see that NBC has announced they're going to do their own streaming platform?
Yeah.
And they're going to put Parks and Rec and The Office on it. And, I mean, dude, everybody's not going to pay for a unique streaming service.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so this is how you provoke people to piracy. And this is all leading up to us all coming back together under one banner and somebody taking a cut from it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it's inevitable. It's probably going to be a Disney-owned property, and we're probably all going to get hosed in the pricing on it, because once it comes under one umbrella, it'll be a functional monopoly. You just feel like, hey, streaming is going to be a thing. It's going to fix a lot of entertainment problems. And of course it doesn't. You know, they figure out a way. The studios and the distribution companies figure out a way to make it awful and drive the wheel.
Unfortunately, you're not wrong.
Yeah. I mean, NBC has got good stuff in their catalog, but I'm not paying for NBC only content.
Yeah.
I'll pay for it as part of a package. Maybe, you know, if Hulu had access to it or something like that, I ain't going over to get Peacock or whatever they're calling that thing.
Oh man, I hope they are calling it Peacock.
Dude, I think they're calling it Peacock. I'm not entirely sure, but I think they are.
Oh man, I'm gonna have to give that a goog. That's fantastic.
Thanks, studios. Thanks for figuring out how to lose money and make everything suck for your customers.
Yeah.
Keeping the tradition alive.
This has been this week's Horror.
Oh, man. I think just nihilism is the is the theme of the show today.
Yeah. I mean, this episode of the podcast is dark, but I don't think it's because of us. I mean, I know we've been busy and life's hard, but it's just a rough time to be a horror fan right now. This is like podcast therapy.
Yeah, for sure.
So, Derek, are you ready to pull the curtain on The Dead Don't Die?
Let's pull the string on The Dead Don't Die, and we'll call up our boy Marky Mark to get us into that spoiler territory so that we can talk about just how bad this movie is.
What? No!
Spoiler alert. So,
all right.
You were disappointed in this as well?
Yeah, dude. I almost turned it off. So that's what I was gonna say earlier in the show. I've had the worst luck lately with movies since It. I don't know if like he's put a curse on me now and things have just gotten really bad. But so I watched it chapter two a couple weeks ago, and then you and I were going to watch The Fanatic and review that. And I watched it before you did. I don't think you've sampled the goods on that.
I have not, but I did hear earlier there's apparently a film festival built around it already.
Oh my goodness.
Rod, didn't you talk about one of those movies in Jeff H. Trailers debuting at the Fanatic Fest?
Oh,
in my head, that is all about this movie. It's the Rocky Horror Picture Show people who go to like midnight showings and stuff. That's all that's going on right there.
Oh my goodness. I hope that's not true. It's terrible. It's easily one of the top five worst movies I've ever seen.
Okay. So you're not going to get like a Moose fanboy or fan club started?
I'm not. As a matter of fact, the lost episode that Big Al and I recorded was me trying to give him the rundown on that movie and just how bad it was.
Huh.
And so I hate that the audio wasn't good on it. I wish that could be played and talked about, but we'll figure out a way to get a review to you guys on that movie. I don't feel like that we need to go long form on it just because I don't want to put Jeff through the turmoil of having to watch it, but it is god awful.
Nice.
So then I saw that this movie, The Dead Don't Die, was out on streaming platforms and things, and so I made the audible. I was like, hey Jeff, why don't we just do that instead? You graciously agreed, and this movie sucks too.
Yeah, dude, this movie sucks.
Like, it's not as bad, but holy smokes, it's terrible.
I should have realized something was going on. I think everybody, when we heard the premise and we heard the cast way back when, we were like, sweet, this is going to be a return to the zombie genre for a bunch of us who maybe had checked out on The Walking Dead, and yay, everything's great. And I should have realized when nobody was talking about it after it released that something was going on.
Yeah.
So when you said Redbox, I was like, how did I miss that? And I watched the movie, and I'm like, I see how I missed that.
Yeah. I just thought that it went under the radar because I don't think maybe it came to the draft house here, but it wasn't here long. I know that. And I remember that a couple people in the Facebook group talked about it, or at least mentioned it to me, maybe DM'd me or something, and said, hey, check out The Dead Don't Die. And now I need to go back and figure out who those people were so I can talk to them and be like, what movie did you watch that I didn't see?
Yeah, I don't see how this movie can suck as bad as it did.
Yeah.
It's inexplicable. Like, this should have been a can't miss, and it missed entirely.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm trying to think if there's anything good that I want to talk about in this. I thought Tilda Swinton was great.
Yeah, but okay. I mean, I'm really going to be scattershot on this.
No, it's fine.
Did you not feel like Tilda Swinton was playing a knockoff version of the bride from Kill Bill?
From Kill Bill, yeah. Not only that, but I also felt like that she was still playing her part in Doctor Strange, the ancient one.
An amalgamation of that with a wacky accent.
Yeah.
That's the consummate, you know, summary or example of how this movie just completely shot itself in its own foot. Have you looked at Jim Jarmusch's IMDb page?
I have.
The picture that's associated with his IMDb page makes me think that he's the explanatory, you know, element of why this movie is terrible.
It is.
Okay.
Yeah, if you go, I don't think, to my recollection or knowledge, that I've ever watched another of his movies, but in reading reviews on this movie to try to figure out what the F went wrong, I've noticed that, like, a lot of his movies have this same deadpan-type delivery.
Uh-huh.
And that he likes to keep things even keel. Like, one of his trademarks is no emotion.
Well, I felt some emotions about this movie, buddy. So he failed. He failed hard.
Yeah, well, I think he means no emotion in, like, his actors, which, they nailed that.
I just wanted to note how much I hated this movie again.
Yeah. And, you know, so they're all just, it's just a lot of deadpan and things like that. And that's where you're supposed to find the humor. But, no, I mean, this movie is cameo-riddled. And with as much talent as you get in this thing, it should be so much better than it is. And it is just a big flaming bag of cat poop.
It's
on
awful.
My front porch.
I don't see how a movie with Bill Murray manages to not be funny.
Yeah.
And look, deadpan delivery should be his wheelhouse.
Mm-hmm. It is. It is his wheelhouse.
But somehow the Dead Don't Die manages to neuter him.
Yeah. Well, and not just that, but this whole like meta commentary that you have within the movie where Adam Driver is apparently the only one that knows that he's in a movie.
Well, until you get to the end of the movie and Bill Murray.
Yeah.
Bill Murray criticizes Jim for not showing him the whole thing or something.
Yeah. Like he just got the sides, the scenes that Adam and himself were in. And he's upset because of all the stuff he's done for Jim Jeffries or whatever the guy's name is. Dude, it's... I'm really glad that you didn't like this movie.
I felt... So, here's the thing. Like, the movie didn't even rise to the level of being a bad movie. It was just boring and worthless.
Yeah.
I feel like he was trying to capture something that I like in other films and TV shows. And when I say others, I specifically mean Fargo. Do you mm-hmm. watch Fargo?
Yeah, absolutely.
There is an earnestness and a forthrightness about Fargo that feels kind of surreal, but is actually just... realism. You know what I mean? Like people talk with long pauses in the conversation and they say awkward things and they're regional. And like, so watching Fargo always feels like you're visiting some strange world, but it's just because it is so forthright in its realism.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like Jim was trying to parody that element or something and just completely destroyed it.
Yeah.
I actually think that he did the version of the Tommy Boy scene where Tommy Boy's trying to sell some brakes with a toy ambulance or the toy car, and he turns it into a literal flaming disaster.
Yeah.
Like, I wish this movie had been done by a Coen brother, and I think it's 90% better. The other element you already hit on, sometimes it's fun to have a character break the fourth wall.
Mm-hmm.
Deadpool obviously is the go-to example for that. Zombieland did some of this. The way they did it with Driver's character, though, makes it... I think they were going for some kind of ironic, self-referential theme that made them look smart, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But in this, it's just wasted, thrown away, pointless, and only there, I think, to tell the audience how smart the people involved are. Maybe this movie is trying to be a satire of zombie films and specifically the ones that have comedic elements like Zombieland.
Mm-hmm.
But all it came across as a juvenile attempt at mocking those movies.
Yeah.
Just worthless. And dang, I mean, think about who the B-level actors are in this movie. You've got Chloe Sevigny, Caleb Landry Jones. You got
Effing Rosie Perez, dude.
Yeah. I mean, you've got a cast who's on the bench who would be headliners in a really good movie.
Yeah.
And everything about the film sucks.
Yeah. Yeah. Selena Gomez is in this thing.
Yep. Does a pretty good job.
Yeah. I thought she did fine with what she was tasked to do.
Yeah. And like, again, they give her character significance when we first meet her, and they keep coming back to her, and she just dies in a hotel room off screen, you know?
Yeah. So let's, I don't know where to go with this, man. So let's talk about, do you think that this is a movie about the hatred of consumerism? Because
I think this is a movie that wants to be a parody of comedic zombie films. And I actually think they must have wanted to belittle people who are into those.
Okay.
I don't know if it rises to the level of talking about consumerism because...
Well, it's just like any time that you see these zombies, they're always talking about the thing that they liked when they were alive.
Sure.
So the, you know, Tilda Swinton kills a girl in the middle of poses, and the one word that she says is Instagram.
Yeah.
Sturgill Simpson, I believe is his name, right? The guy who wrote the theme song.
Oh, let me pause here for just a second. This is another element of this movie that drives me crazy. I don't think you know this. I'm a huge Sturgill Simpson fan. Huge.
Oh, I did not know that.
I love Sturgill's music. And this is yet another element of this film that I should have been over the moon about.
Mm-hmm.
And they turn his theme song into, you know, a bit.
Yeah. Sturgill Simpson is actually in the movie towards the end.
Well, my eyes must have glazed because I missed him.
Well, he's a zombie.
Oh.
And he's dragging a guitar behind him going, guitar.
Great. Great.
Yeah.
So if consumerism, it sounds credible that would be one of the things they're working with here. I, you know, that is what Romero and a bunch of people have done with the zombie genre, right?
Mm-hmm.
I've still got to think that that only shows up to mock those elements in other films. This just seems like the most, to use the theme, just the most nihilistic approach to zombie movies. I feel like it's making fun of people who like those movies, making fun of people who create those movies, and doing it all the way back to the very beginning of the genre or the trope.
Mm-hmm.
And it's using great talent to ruin the experience of watching a movie. I mean, this is movie making malpractice.
Well said. I know that oftentimes we talk about how this show is better when you and I have disagreements on things because it gives two points of views. But dude, this movie sucks.
It does suck. And like, we only have so many more Bill Murray movies.
Yeah.
Stop wasting Bill Murray.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
when you say that Adam Driver and Bill Murray are going to team up to do a zombie movie, you've got a recipe for success right there. So how is this? I don't get it. And furthermore, let me just say this. There's no reason for this thing to get as political as it did.
Yeah. Yeah.
And again, I hate that we always give this disclaimer because it's the truth. Like, we're not here to talk politics. We're here to talk horror movies. But it seems like more and more people feel the need to needle whichever side that they're opposed to in their movies.
Nothing can be not political anymore. That's the worst part of this. Like, everything has to be a political statement, at least in part. And man, I'm so burned out by that.
As soon as Steve Buscemi's character came on the screen with a Make America White Again hat, I almost wanted to turn it off.
Well, it actually said Keep America White Again.
That's what it said. I'm sorry.
And look, here's the thing, dude. I don't think anybody listening or watching the movie or whatever, I don't feel like they ought to have some obligation to love Donald Trump. But I also think it's just bad to make fun of people.
Yeah.
Particularly people you don't agree with or like, if you don't understand them.
And right.
That's just the worst kind of stereotyping, right? I mean, if there had been some kind of, if they'd done some version of that to Danny Glover's character, I'd have felt the same way.
Yeah, of course.
Don't take cheap pot shots at people who are your political enemies.
Yeah.
At least respect their dignity enough to understand where they're coming from.
Yeah.
And again, I think I would say that to the other side. You know, if they'd been beating up on a Hillary Clinton voter or whatever, I'd feel the same way.
Yeah.
Don't make me pay for your propaganda or don't ask me to.
Yeah. And I don't feel like that there's any need for it on either side.
Yeah, 100%. Disagree.
Yeah.
I think that there are big consequences to the ideas, but man, don't make somebody who showed up to watch a zombie movie sit through your personal gripe session.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, I guess is hypocrisy because our listeners are listening to our personal gripe session.
Yeah.
It's not about who we want you to vote for politically, though. We're just saying this is a podcast about movies, and the movie we watched, we had high hopes for, and it sucks.
Yeah.
And it could have been so much better with just a few simple, obvious adjustments.
Yeah. It's I just feel like that we okay, excuse me. So I just don't want this next statement to be construed in a negative way, but it shouldn't be difficult to make an enjoyable zombie movie.
Yeah.
And somehow they took everything that should have been enjoyable about this movie and turned it into a flaming pile of cat poop.
Yes. And again, to come back to my theme, I think this is done in service to mock people in the same way that political opinions that whoever's involved doesn't appreciate is mocked. In the same way, I feel like this film sets out intentionally to mock people who like zombie movies.
Yeah.
And I mean, cool, man. If that's your thing, you got to make it and whatever. But this wasn't marketed as, hey, let's laugh at how stupid this is. So think about it by comparison, the Wayans Brothers Scary Movie series. You know up front, this is about laughing at the genre, right?
Right.
This movie doesn't so much ask you to laugh at zombie movies as it does to belittle them. And you could market it in a way that makes that clear, and I'm going to avoid your movie.
Yeah.
You know? But this is kind of a rope-a-dope. I feel about this film kind of the same way I feel about the scene in The Last Jedi where Rey hands Luke his lightsaber and he just flips it over his shoulder.
Yeah.
I thought that scene was a middle finger to Star Wars fans who, you know, existing Star Wars fans. And I feel like this whole movie is a middle finger to people who are into zombie movies. So, to heck with this film, Jim Jarmusch.
Yeah. And I guess that, like, that is his, again, I feel like that is his, like, motif. Like, that's his trademark, is that he makes, not necessarily satire, but, because I don't even want to dignify this as satire. But I know that he made a movie, another movie with Adam Driver that was supposed to be really good called Patterson.
Yeah, and I have heard a lot of people say good things about Patterson. Yeah. The trailer talked me out of watching Patterson, though.
Yeah, well, this movie talked me out of watching anything that he ever does ever again.
Yeah, I'm sure that there are more sophisticated art critic listeners hearing this right now who are like, you know what? This movie's just above y'all. But here's the thing. If it's above me, it can stay there.
Yeah.
I like movies. I'm the horror uncle. I try to lean in to enjoy people's art. But, dude, I've never liked people who sit around on the peripheral laughing at everybody else. That always yeah. reads to me like a bully. And I don't sign up for propaganda in the form of mockery. That's what I think this movie is.
Yeah.
So, cool. Y'all enjoy it. I'm out. And I think Derek and I aren't alone. This movie made like $12 million. So.
Yeah, and it has been panned. I mean, for every good review that you read on IMDb, like a user review, you'll read. So let me just go through it right here. The first one that pops up, the title of it is "One of the Worst Films I've Ever Seen." People left the theater halfway through. That 1 out of 10 stars, 3 out of 10 stars. If you didn't like it, you probably fell asleep. 3 out of 10 stars. Deadest, horse beatingest movie of all time. I'm just going to read this review. This is from John Doe_13. I hate this movie. I saw it for free and still want my money back. It is an absolutely pointless, meandering vanity project that attempts to trick you into thinking it's cleverer than it is.
Yeah, that last line is gospel truth. It tries yeah. to trick you into thinking it's more clever than it is.
According to the director himself, it was designed to be a dumb movie comprised of dumb bits as a way to make money hang out with his friends. Well, there you go. And what's worse is that the trailer tricks you into thinking it is an entirely different movie. The yes. worst kind of yep. the worst kind of lie you can tell in an effort to lure people away from their hard-earned money and precious time. There's
Did
literally
you
no
write this review, Derek, under the name John Doe_13.
I didn't, but man, it's I literally just saw it and I was like, dead horse beating this movie ever sounds like something that I would need to read. It goes on to say this: there's literally no point in anything that happens. Jarmusch has no sense of pace or urgency or meaning. And in my opinion, art for the sake of itself alone is condescending towards your audience.
Huh.
Well, yeah, we need to get John Doe_13 on the show.
Yeah, you know, that's the positive side of this. I also realize now that I have risen to the level of commentary of an anonymous IMDb user. So I'm probably going to be reevaluating some things on my end too. But when he's right.
Yeah.
You know,
he goes on to say, "I normally like his work, along with all of the actors, the subject matter and tone. This should have been right in my wheelhouse. But I left feeling like the director had a contemptuous view of the people watching this film.
Oh my gosh.
In every regard. And that just doesn't sit well with me. Not everything has to matter in a movie, but something should. Ultimately, it felt like a third-rate SNL skit that was allowed to drag on for 2 hours.
Okay, so new question. Did I write this review as John Doe_13?
Yeah.
I may have blacked out and wrote that.
You may have. Yeah, so one person gave it a 10 out of 10 and said, "Have you ever seen a Jim Jarmusch movie before? What did you expect? Thought it was brilliant. Dead hipsters from Cleveland." But yeah, I mean, for the most part, man, it's somebody put boring version of Shaun of the Dead. Wow, that sucked. You couldn't try and make a worse film.
I think those people are right. And I think we've probably, you know, we don't want to beat a dead horse ourselves.
Yeah.
This movie sucks.
Yeah.
It's mean-spirited. It's dishonest in its marketing. And I mean, everybody involved should be ashamed.
Yeah, I agree. It wastes incredible talent, like Bill Murray. Bill Murray, in my opinion, is one of the top five comedians of our generation. And
well, he's become an American mythology. You know, he's like
sure.
the closest thing we have to a real life Bigfoot.
Yeah,
and in this, he's just thrown away.
I have really grown to love Adam Driver over yeah. the last several years.
Yeah.
And I thought he was wasted in this. Tilda Swinton. Iggy Pop's in this thing, man. Iggy Pop is in this thing. and you see him, what, twice?
Yeah.
Carol Kane. Carol Kane is in this movie. Carol Kane is a gosh darn American treasure, and we see her, what, three times?
Yeah.
I mean, what the, yeah. So anyway.
and screw y'all for messing up Sturgill Simpson.
Yeah. And in the immortal words of Tony Schiavone, Hulk Hogan, you can go to
totally gotta fix that for iTunes, buddy.
Yeah, that's fine.
Thanks for giving me more work to do on this stupid hack job of a film.
I hate this movie so much, and it's the final thing I'm going to say about it.
Yeah.
Yep, and so I'm going to tell you this, guys, stay away from this movie as much as possible. There's no reason to ask the question, did we see something scary? We didn't.
No.
And scale of 1 to 10, Jeff, where are you going with it?
0.
Yeah.
This is a meritless film.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm done talking about it. And you know what? I want to apologize. I want to apologize, number one, for us not having a show last week, and then coming back with just really bleak stuff this week. But sometimes it be like that. And I hope that you guys understand. But I'm going to implore you to stay as far away from this movie as possible. But I will say this, like we always do. If you watch this movie and you enjoyed it, I would love to hear from you. Honest to God, would love to hear from you, because I need somebody to tell me why.
This is now an NSYNC song.
That's a Backstreet Boy. Anyway.
Is it really? I totally blew it. Sorry.
It's okay.
I apologize to America.
I never want to hear you say that you want it that way. But I do, though. I genuinely want to know what you enjoyed about this movie. Maybe you're a fan of Jarmusch, if we're saying that right. I apologize if we're not. Maybe you get him, and I don't clearly get him. And so I would like to know what you enjoyed about this movie. Try to sell me on it, and you're not going to be ridiculed or have any kind of pushback or anything else. Everybody that's in our Facebook group, I respect your opinion. I know that we like to, you know, joke around with one another and have a good time and stuff, but genuinely, I respect everyone's opinion and would love to know what you
about this movie. I said that out loud. Sorry. So I, too, will be respectful. I'm going to do it by pre-agreeing to disagree.
Yeah.
That's where I'm at. Tell Derek how this movie should be appreciated, and just leave me over here in my uninformed ignorance.
Yeah. Try to sell me on this movie. You probably won't, but I would genuinely like to know people's opinions if you enjoyed the movie.
Can I ask a favor of you and our listeners?
Of course.
If you are someone like Derek who heard Sturgill Simpson for the first time on this movie, go listen to the album called A Sailor's Guide to Earth. It's available on Spotify. It is hardcore country in like the you know, 70s and 80s vein of the genre. But it's some of the most thoughtful lyrics that have come out of the medium ever. And it just deserves better than this movie. So go listen to Sturgill Simpson, A Sailor's Guide to Earth. The thing about Sturgill I like so much is that his songs communicate thought. He doesn't do pop vapidity. He's exploring and working some stuff out. And most of the time, I don't agree with his conclusions. Like, he's got a song called Turtles All the Way Down that, you know, y'all know my worldview. I don't square up with the philosophical conclusions he comes to, but at least he's thinking carefully and then making great art around it. So don't let this define what you think of Sturgill Simpson. Go listen to his albums. I'm not getting paid for any of this. I'm not, you know, receiving paid endorsements or anything. I just don't want something I like tarnished by this horrible movie.
So there you go, guys. You got homework for this week. Go listen to Sturgill Simpson. What was the name of the album again, Jeff? I'm sorry.
A Sailor's Guide to Earth.
Okay. So A Sailor's Guide to Earth. And you know what? I'm not a country music fan, but I'll even go listen to it and report back on what I think.
Yeah. It's at least worth trying. And this movie might have lied to you and made you believe it wasn't. So it's worth trying now.
Well, I think that's the best place to put a bow on this one.
Put a bow. I want to wrap it in chains and tie it to a concrete block and drop it off a pier.
I mean, that would probably be the best thing for it.
Yeah, it's been a long time since I've been as salty about a movie, but it's probably because it's such a busy time and I had high expectations. And to just show up to be laughed at,
sure,
is particularly frustrating.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And I'm sorry to even have suggested it. But like I said, The Fanatic sucked. This movie sucked. And then last night I watched Dark Phoenix.
Oh, dude. I knew better than to do that one.
I felt the need. I'm still kind of trying to scratch that James McAvoy itch.
Right.
And so I was like, well, I'll try it out. And I wish I hadn't have.
So sorry, my friend.
Yeah. So I need to watch a good movie. That's what I'm trying to say. So this is the last thing I'm going to say, and then we're going to peace out. If you have good movie recommendations, and I'm not even talking like horror movies. I'm just talking like, hey, I went and saw this movie, or I rented this movie or whatever, and it was really good, and I would like for you to watch it. Hit us up in the Facebook group, We Saw Something Scary, and let me know what those are, because I am in desperate need of a palate cleanse and would appreciate any and all help with that. You can go to our Patreon campaign and help us out there. Patreon.com/scary podcast. Remember, donating $3 a month will give you up to 2 additional bonus podcasts per month. And also, if you donate or if you contribute to the $10 promotion, you're able to come on one of those episodes and give us your pick for the month. And we would love for you guys to help us out in any and all way possible. He's at Right Jeff. I'm at Derek Zoo. We're out of time. Guys, thanks so much for listening. We promise we'll be back next week with a more positive episode. Thanks again for giving us the opportunity to talk to you. And we look forward to being back here next week for some more positivity. But until then, just remember to stay away from clowns and sewers, white people with teacups, and blind men with turkey basters. We'll see you guys back here next week. Bye-bye, man.